You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. Okay, we've got the scripture reading. It's Ephesians today, chapter 4, verses 20 through 25. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
Okay, looks like we're all connected up, and it's good to be here, and we avoided the thunderstorms, or the thunderstorms avoided us. I don't know which way it went, but it was good that we didn't get any hail. I'm almost paranoid about these golf ball-sized hail that we can get around here, and so I don't want my car all smashed up. I said to my wife, have we got insurance against that? I've got to check up and see if we've got insurance against hail. Anyway. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank Thee again for this opportunity to open up the Scriptures. We thank Thee for their preservation, Lord. We can read them in the English, and that we have them inspired for us to go away and ponder more deeply the things of God. In Christ's name, amen. All right, we're in Ephesians, and we're in chapter number 4, and this is the practical section. And there's some wonderful things that we have looked at, and I used this idea of hypothesis testing to teach this idea that when you come to the book of Ephesians, it's part of the revelation of Paul the prisoner to us in this age. And there are many, many Christians who believe in dispensational truth. But what they haven't come to realize is this great boundary. And so basically one of the things I did, not last time but the time before, is that I had this movable boundary, if you like. A movable boundary. And here is the null hypothesis, and that is there is no difference. And this is the skeptic statement. There's nothing going on. There's just absolutely nothing going on. You want to say to someone who's a skeptic, you need to look at this as a conspiracy going on here. There's nothing going on. There's nothing happening. That's the skeptic's position. There's no difference. And basically, we're interested in ascertaining evidence against this particular hypothesis. And when we go through the book of Acts and we allow this thing to move in the book of Acts, we really can't get evidence sufficient to throw that out. There's no evidence we can get to throw that out. All the passages we go to, if you go to Acts chapter 13, if you go to Acts chapter 17, you just can't throw that null out. In fact, Paul says that he said none other things than those which Moses and the prophets said should come. So it's very clear that the hope here, for example, right up to the end, the hope is the hope of Israel. And even the Gentiles who were not given the covenants were grafted in unnaturally into the olive of Israel. And they partook of the root and the fatness of that olive tree, which goes back into the Old Testament. And so even the Gentiles here find their hope as being a part of that of Israel in this unnatural graft to provoke Israel to jealousy. But as we move this boundary right across to here, then we suddenly discover, oh well, there is a different land here. And if we were to suppose that there's no difference here, well, we can contradict that. If we look either side of this boundary here, we find big differences. Very big differences. For example, we find a new hope. Maybe you've got a picture here. Here it is here. So here, this is the movable H-naught, if you like, and we can move it along. But when we get to Acts 28, we find there's a new hope, there's a new man, freshly created. It's not the wife, it's not the bride, it's a new man, freshly created, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and 14 and 15. There's a new body with Christ the head. There are no signs or wonders. The signs and the wonders take their part as a means of provoking Israel. They were a part of Israel's wonders and things that they would look for. Israel's judged at the end of the book of Acts. And I made a statement here that we do this test with high power. We reject a null, given that it's false, with big probability. Big probability. Why? Because of our strong arguments. And what we are doing is we are encouraging Christians to come along and have a look at the evidence. Hey, you may not like the way I sound. You may not like the way I look. But what you as a Christian need to do is look at the facts, see what the scriptures say. Right? That's what you need to be looking at. Then we covered that last time. This time, I want to look at these 3 points. There are 3 points that we can ascertain from this passage. The one here, you have not so learned Christ. I mentioned this last time, but there's some things I didn't talk about. So I want to major on that. And verse 23, renewal occurs in and by the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind. This opens up a big issue. When we first started preaching in a small gathering in New Zealand, we opened up in a school hall. And opposite the school hall, at the time we opened, there was actually a mental home. It was a place where people came who had various mental problems and difficulties. And from time to time, people from that institution would wander in on a Sunday to our service. And many of them would come and they would go and we wouldn't see them again. They maybe come once. But we came across one individual who stuck. And the changes that occurred to her mental condition while she was there were remarkable. And I may have time to refer to some of those things. But here, renewal occurs in and by the spirit of your mind. And the last thing concerning the line. So let's get into Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, and we'll read here in verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. So other Gentiles certainly had a mind which was vain, and we can see plenty of evidence for this. If you've studied the Gentiles and what they've done in history, certainly it's true. Having the understanding darkened, the understanding. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So there is certainly knowledge. There are things that we can learn. And you'll find that the pagans and the Gentiles who were involved with this various pagan practices, they at that time had tremendous knowledge of so-called science. But you'll notice what it says here in verse 18 at the end, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And that's the problem, you see. And one of the challenges and the historical greatness of America is that it was founded by people who were strong believers in God, many of whom were believers as Christians in the scriptures. And they were believers in the individual development of people, the individuality, the rights of the individual, as opposed to some socialistic idea that the state is going to demand everything from you. And so there is this possibility that an individual can grow and learn and develop. Here it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now here comes the verse. But ye have not so learned Christ. Now, so, this is the part that I want you to think about. You have not so learned. Seems such a small word. So. And really, it means in this way. You see, there is a way in which we learn Christ. And I missed out on that in my early days as a Christian. I missed out on this. You have not so learned Christ. In the context here, it's all about a practical walk which is godly in character. Not with the lasciviousness of the pagans and the Gentiles and so on. Very, very different. But in a wider context, you find here that there is this marvelous truth that there is a pattern. There is definitely a pattern involved with this. If you just take your scriptures and just turn to 1 Timothy... Chapter 1. And it says this in chapter 1, and let me just pick out the verse. Yes, chapter 1 and verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Contrary to sound doctrine. Here is the tremendous place for the law. You know, the law is definitely a great thing in being applied to such people. But there is such a thing as sound doctrine as Paul gives it. Sound doctrine. Have a look at Paul's second epistle to Timothy. And go to chapter number 1. And verse 13. It says this, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Hold fast the form of sound words. The form of sound words. When Paul was saved, he declared that the way that he was saved was a pattern. The same word is used here. This form of sound words is the pattern of sound words. There is a pattern of sound words. There is a way in which you should learn Christ. And it's after a pattern. Why wasn't I told this? Why wasn't I told as a new Christian that there is a pattern of sound words in the scriptures that comes from Paul directed to us? A pattern there. There's a pattern. And it's very interesting the way that Paul says this. Because it's striking. Just think about this. You've got sound words. Isn't that the most important thing? The sound words. But look what he says. Hold fast the form. Hold fast the form of sound words. You hold fast the form. The pattern. And when you really think about this, isn't it true? The pattern is the thing that you need to hold fast to. And that comes from rightly dividing the word of truth. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. Healthy words. Health. What an issue today. Health. Right? Health. And we certainly need it. We need it in body, and we need it in mind. And there is a spirit. There is a spirit of the mind. There's a spirit of love. And we need that. We need that. To remain healthy, we need that. So let's go back to Ephesians. There's a lot more I can go on about this, but for now, I think this is enough to sort of vitalize our minds and thinking. It says in verse 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ,
if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. Heard him, been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, in him. You see that? It's a remarkable structure. Heard him, taught by him, truth is in Jesus. Truth is in Jesus. The question is, how are we going to get this truth? How? You can only get it by rightly dividing the word of truth. The only way you're going to get it is by hearing Christ's voice through Paul the prisoner. That's the only way. And if you don't listen for Christ's voice through Paul the prisoner, then you're probably going to be pulled astray by listening to other voices. And he goes on, and he says this, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the former manner of life. The former manner of life. And then he says, the old man. It's an apposition here. The former conversation, the old man. Now, I haven't finished my picture behind me, but this is supposed to be Abram, and Abram had a father, Terah. And the scriptures in Acts chapter 7 tell us that God appeared to Abram while he was living in the Ur of the Chaldees. And what he did was, Abram, he heard the voice, but he listened to the old man. And the old man took him to Haran. And there he dwelt with Terah until Terah died. And at the death of the old man, then he crossed the river as the exemplar of the Hebrew, the one that crosses over. See, the Hebrew, the one that crosses over. But the Bible says in Genesis, but the Canaanite was then in the land. That's the consequence of listening to the old man. What am I saying? That you shouldn't listen to the elders? No, that's not the message. The message relates to the former conversation, the former manner of life. You got to test it. You got to fight it, man. You got to get up in the morning and fight it, because it's with us. And it's going to be with us right through our lives. And it's only going to disappear at the resurrection. And when that resurrection occurs, it's going to be a marvelous thing. And so it goes on. By the way, thinking a little bit further about that, Paul says to Timothy, let no man disrespect your youth, or words to that effect. You know? Don't let anyone do that. It's quite possible, isn't it, that someone that's older will not necessarily have the same wisdom as someone who is younger in the faith. It's quite possible that happens. And so it was with Timothy. And he goes on and he says this, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now I want you to notice the structure of this, because it's another neat thing. It goes, put off, and then it's got a statement about the spirit of your mind, and then it's got put on. Do you notice that? Right around it. Let's have a look at it. It says, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Then, verse 24, and that you put on, the new man. Put off, put on. Put off, put on, and right in between there, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In the spirit of your mind. Now, sooner or later, you've got to think about how your whole structure works, your whole being works. How does it work? Well, we know that Paul says to the Corinthians that we understand the things of man because we have the spirit of man in us. We understand the things of man because of that. We have that spirit. We understand the things of God because we have the spirit of God in us. We can understand the things of the spirit of God because we have that spirit in us. Okay, cool. So, in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, what I think is going on here is that your mind
can easily be corrupted by this old man that's in us. The spirit of your mind is where the renewing takes place. The spirit of your mind needs to be renewed. And it says in verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Now up here, I've got the same scripture. It says, wherefore putting away lying. Now, see, on account of this, putting away the lie. See, when it says lying, it's talking about the specific lie. There's this lie that's going on. I've been reading a lot about Woodrow Wilson and FDR and John Dewey and Mr. Goodnow and some of these characters who were a part of the foundation stone of the progressives, right? The progressives. What are the progressives? Well, in my language, they are the ultra-dispensationalists. Why? Because they are trying to contextualize the statement of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution to say that, well, that's only for then. That was applicable then, but we have moved on. And that only has an application for that time. But we have moved on now. You see? Just put it dispensationally in the past, and we have moved on. And the same progressive ideas, what being pushed by many of the liberals and so on. Here is something. One of the things you cannot accuse us of is being ultra-dispensational. Why? Because of our H-naught stuff, our null hypothesis stuff. You see, we can find real divisions, and where there are divisions, we declare them, and we're declaring the Word of God, right? But look at this. The lie. There are some things that don't change, my friends. There are some things that don't change. And we acknowledge the things that don't change. Hey, look at this. Here's another one. The gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God is here, and so it is over here. I can take you into the book of Romans, and I can pull out the gospel of the grace of God, and I can preach it right now without any interference, without any problem. We are not ultra-dispensational. We acknowledge that things change, yes, but not everything changes. And my friends, those great statements that were made right at the beginning of the Declaration of Independence, they are the foundation stones for the liberation of the blacks, for example, and all the slavery and stuff that happened here. That's the basis for their liberation. The Founding Fathers declared it right in there. Why? Because it comes in conjunction with the Scriptures. Do you see the point that I'm making? The point that I'm trying to make here is that this lie, the lie that basically says that you can be as God, that you can basically take worship, and that, you know, there is no God, you're God, you know, and you are the one who is in the driving seat of your own destiny, and so on, etc., etc. And we are going to be creating this marvelous society by having a socialistic government that knows everything, has all wisdom, and we're going to tell you what to do. You want to be a part of that kind of society? Well, welcome to the future. I mean, that's terrible, isn't it? That's what's going on. Have a look here in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. A lot of people want to criticize, you know, I can't help, because I've been studying a lot of this to do with the Constitution, I can't help but seeing some parallels in here, you know. People want to say that the idea behind the individual and the individual declaring the government that will respect his or her rights is somehow a terrible thing, because it's selfish and it's putting self above others. The trouble is, the founders all declared
the truth of the Scriptures,
then I guess never envisioned that a society which would move so far away from the Scriptures, you know?
Every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Just come down a little bit to verse 28. I just want to show you this. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Now look at this. That he may have to give to him that needeth.
You see, some will say that capitalism is really so selfish that it's all about building up your own wealth and forgetting about your neighbor. But if you look at it and contextualize exactly what the founders were and what they were about, this is what you'll find. You know, here's a little quote I found. Whosoever shall introduce into public affairs the principles of Christianity will change the face of the world. There's plenty more statements like this that come from people of great repute in the basis and the foundation of America.
They would never envisage a society that would move so far away from the basics and the foundations of Christianity. The basis of the Constitution and all of these great truths were really Christian principles. So that here, this would be no strange thing at all to the founders. It says, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. It's a pretty amazing thought, isn't it? It's an amazing thought. And I believe that's certainly true.
It's not saying that this is the only reason why you gather things to yourself. Why? Well, you need to look after yourself and your family. Right? The Bible says very clearly, Paul says to Timothy, if a man provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Right? So looking after your family is a big responsibility, and gathering to do that is important.
So here in Ephesians chapter 4, he goes on in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Here's all this practical responsibility that we should have, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. See, in verse 23, it's all about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. The body's coming later, isn't it? The body's coming later. And where it says here in verse 30, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption, which relates to your body being redeemed. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Bingo! We have a tremendous basis for forgiving others. Why? Because we have been forgiven. Forgiving others. On what basis? Because for God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. What a tremendous thing. So in this particular passage of chapter 4, we have some practical exhortation which relates to all these wonderful things concerning practical life. These 3 points, ye have not so learned Christ, being renewed by the spirit of your mind, and putting away the lying. We see this in all sorts of practical ways, and which goes right from the beginning of Genesis right to the end in the book of Revelation. A practical truth that carries all the way through. We're not hyper-dispensational. We find divisions and we adhere to them. Let us pray.
Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time that we've had to open up the Scriptures and learn. And we thank Thee for this church, Lord, that You've preserved and kept. And we ask, Lord, that as time goes by, we would see it grow in Thy strength and multiply in numbers according to Thy will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.